Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. This is an hour devoted to learning something more, not just about the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax, but about how, what, and why we think and believe as we do. An hour for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner Ravinder awaits you there now. You can log on by going to Eldon Taylor, that's ELDONTAYLOR.com/chat. So, Ravinder, say hello to everyone and tell us all about that party that's going on.
Which party? The party with myself?
Yes.
Actually, no, we have a party in the chat room. We have a party every single week. We have amazing conversation, and it's a great support group too. Actually, we've had some stuff going on in the chat room today, but I will leave that for the chat room. Come join us. That is eldontaylor.com/chat.
Your chat room, your people really become buddies. I mean, they get to know one another. It becomes a secondary community. We had one of the members of our chat room, regular members, lose her home in the middle of the night to a fire. And of course, you know, right away, everyone out of your chat room is there to support her, to help her in any way she can, et cetera. That's really remarkable.
That's what we're doing. Yeah, that was the big one. But yeah, we have these things occasionally.
And so to her, we send our very best. And do know, if you're not listening, and I understand that you might not be, everybody out there, that if there is anything that we can't do for you, we're very happy to do so. We're leaving her name out, are we not?
I think so.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. So, moving right along. This past weekend, I had the honor and privilege to meet many of you in Vancouver at the Hay House I Can Do It conference. And I want to thank every one of you once again for making my visit so special. Ravinder and I had just a great time. It's a beautiful city, and the people there are just outstanding people. Okay, every week I read some of your letters as our way of paying respect to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week, our guest was Dr. Linda Salvin, and we discussed her wicks of wisdom, and she took some of your calls. Jeff wrote, "Thanks for today's show on candle magic. I went to Dr. Salvin's website right away." Amelia wrote, "You have the best guest, and you cover so many subjects, and you seem to know quite a bit about every one of them. How do you do it?" Well, Amelia, thank you for your compliment. I do read a lot, and I am what many of my friends have described as a perennial student. Still, there is just so much to learn that I'm continually reminded of how little I really know. Isn't that right, Princess?
I know very little.
Now, that, that surprises me. I'm teasing. Okay, now, Mod Girl from our chat room made this comment. "The no-nonsense person who you love and admire, Linda seems to be like this." With an opposing or dissenting opinion, Cynthia wrote, "I bought candles from Linda a few years ago, and when there was an issue with the delivery, I emailed her, and what I got in response was an abusive tongue-lashing. She even went as far as to suggest that she could put a hex on me and that my impatience would be the reason why my success in life would be delayed. She does not accept returns or refunds, so I was out $120 roughly. She dabbles with the dark side. I cannot believe you, sir, would have her on your show. She does not come from the heart as she claims. Perhaps she, too, ought to take responsibility for blocking her own success." Well, thanks for the feedback, Cynthia. I entertain a number of people and ideas on this show. And right up front, you must know that I don't necessarily endorse them all. Indeed, I try to be as open-minded as I ask you to be when we hear out the thoughts and ideas of our guests. That said, I know that no one is able to please everyone, and still, during our show with Linda, I brought to everyone's attention the fact that there were some unsavory remarks about her on the internet, as well as many glowing testimonials. It's the responsibility of you, the audience, to decide whether the information and the guest resonate. To me, the proof is in the pudding. I'm a pragmatist, And so I try many things, and if they work, well, that's as far as I need go. Usually isn't as far as I do go, because my left brain tends to need to explain things, but it's as far as I need to. If I refuse to entertain anyone that I might disagree with or who might have some unfavorable copy out there, well, then this show wouldn't be Provocative Enlightenment. It would rather be Eldon Taylor Speaks. I hope this little explanation is helpful. Do you have any comments on that, Raf?
I think it's important to bring information out and for everyone to make their own decisions. Definitely. So you always have to be discerning.
All right, moving right along. Kate wrote, I recently received one of your CDs from a therapist, and I feel it's healing at work already. I hope I say this right. Dr. Shuhuri wrote, I love Inner Talk series. Soaring self-esteem and accelerated healing have been instrumental in my healing. I listened to Forgiving and Letting Go for 1 year. Now I give seminars around the world in emotional healing. Can I please inform all our seminar attendees about InnerTalk? Well, Doctor, we're honored to have you do just that, and thank you for your feedback. Ronnie wrote, I would love to sign up for your newsletter. Love your radio program on Hay House. Thanks, Ronnie, and I will use your letter to remind everyone to sign up for my free newsletter. When you visit my website and get your free MP3, and that's eldontaylor.com. Marco wrote, I totally love to listen to your show on Hay House Radio. You have an enlightening style. Well, thank you, Marco. David wrote, Hi, Eldon. I met you in Vancouver on Sunday, and I was blown away by your talk. Thank you for your amazing discussion. That was really a great time. That was the first time I ever tried to condense something into, you know, a TED Talk style.
You did a fabulous job.
Well, it was a great time.
It was a fabulous
job. Great group of people. Renata wrote, I am listening to your CD Serenity that came with your book Mind Programming every day. I can feel a shift happening inside me, and I'm very grateful for your loving work trying to better humanity. Well, thank you, Renata, and that reminds me to nudge you all once again. If you haven't yet obtained your copy of Mind Programming, please don't wait any longer. The fact is, there is no real thought until the mind turns round and examines itself. Mind Programming will facilitate this in ways beyond the scope of our time today, so please just get the book and begin to realize your true potential now. All right, that's all the time we're going to take for letters today. We can't get all of your remarks on the air, but I do want you to know your comments definitely impact our programming. I invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. And once again, we both appreciate and thank you for your feedback and continued support. Now to today's show, The Heart of the Matter. I personally love this book. Indeed, I provided a blurb for the book, and this is exactly what I said. Quote, The Heart of the Matter, Discovering Gifts in Strange Wrapping Paper, by Dr. Darren Weissman and Kate Montana, just surged to the top of my recommended reading list. Dr. Weissman's practical, no-nonsense approach to a whole new conscious way of living is both original and attainable. Accepting his See, Feel, Hear challenge will change your life. You no longer will simply have information, or as he puts it, having intellectual knowledge about something doesn't bestow wisdom any more than knowing the brain is capable of creating and releasing endorphins to mitigate pain gets rid of a headache. Instead, you will have power, the power that is your birthright to manifest the nearly unlimited potential that resides within each and every one of us. Don't miss this one. Read it today. Now, let me make this clear. I am endorsing this book. This is a great book. Now, most of you are probably familiar with our guest, but just in case, let me tell you a little about him. Dr. Darren R. Weissman, there we go, is the author of The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude and the developer of the Lifeline Technique, an advanced holistic system that releases subconscious emotions and patterns that lead to symptoms or stress. The Lifeline Technique integrates 14 modalities of natural healing into one unified system. Dr. Weissman earned his bachelor's degree in human biology at the University of Kansas and his doctorate in chiropractic medicine at the National College of Chiropractic. He received additional intensive training in acupuncture, homeopathy, and other forms of energy medicine in Sri Lanka. In addition to his private practice, he trains other healing arts practitioners and lay persons in the use of the Lifeline Technique and the Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. His newest book, The Heart of the Matter, is the subject of today's show, despite the fact that I just noticed it's not yet been released. However, we may well discuss his other works as well. His copy states, quote, his mission is world peace through love and gratitude, close quote. So on that, let's get him in here. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Dr. Darren Weissman.
Hey, Eldon, thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's indeed our pleasure, indeed our pleasure. You know, let's begin by, you know, you have your own show, so you talk a lot about things. I want to talk a little bit about you personally before we get into your material, all right?
Sure, I'd love to.
So to begin with, tell our audience when and why you decided to become a healing arts professional.
You know, it's really been part of my evolutionary journey of having my own experiences growing up and challenges with my health, physical health of allergies and asthma and infections where, you know, being in the medical, you know, world as far as my parents' way of doing things was to take a pill for every symptom. And so that's the way I grew up, allergy shots in each arm every week, tonsils and adenoids removed, tubes put in my ears, rushed to the hospital to get adrenaline shots because of asthma attacks. It's just the way I grew up. And so I was motivated in my heart that I wanted to make a difference in the world. And when I looked at my initials, Darren Robert Weissman, DR, I said to my mom, I think about 4 or 5 years of age, I said, I'm going to be a doctor. My initials already say it. It's going to be. She's like, well, you go for it, Darren. And so I started to study as my pre-med courses to become an internist, to work as a medical physician. But it really just didn't sit in my heart. It didn't resonate with me to do that. But I didn't know another way. And through the circumstances of life, my brother was in a significant car accident, and infinite love and gratitude to him feeling really great today, but he went the medical route, it didn't help him, and he found a chiropractor. And the chiropractor literally set him straight, and he called me up and said, check out chiropractic, and that was the doorway. And once my heart was opened and I recognized, oh, the body's natural potential is to be a self-healing organism, and, you know, getting the nervous system in alignment actually, you know, does just that. It increases the potential of the body to be self-healing. I started to recognize that all these systems around the world, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, homeopathy, aspects of nutrition, and mind-body work, all these different systems were evoking this self-healing potential, which, you know, ultimately in the year 2002, it was June 17th, I had a wake-up. And the wake-up was where I literally was downloaded and saw everything that I'd ever studied with everyone that I'd ever studied with come together in a clear vision that I wrote out in about a half an hour, and it's what I call the Lifeline Technique flowchart, but it's a blueprint of the subconscious mind, and I can teach people how to read it and how to harmonize these reactive, fear-based, protective patterns that are stored in the memory banks of our subconscious, and thus unleash the infinite potential that we all are. That's the brief synopsis of my journey to healing.
It's interesting. You know, I think all healthcare, including, you know, traditional allopathic procedures, are designed to optimize the opportunity for the body to do its own healing. Mm-hmm. It's just that there are many methods that are less invasive than others. You know, I personally had an experience with a chiropractor. I injured my back when I was very young, working with horses, and I couldn't even, you know, stand up, and there wasn't anything that, you know, traditional medicine was going to do except give me some kind of muscle relaxer and you know, pain remedy. But I saw a chiropractor. I crippled in. I mean, seriously crippled in. And I walked out right bouncing, just thinking, wow, what a miracle these guys are. So, okay, today then, how do you see yourself? I mean, what kind of human being do you think you've become?
Oh, that's such a cool question. It really dovetails back to how you were opening up your show. And that is, I am aware that I'm aware. And I observe, I'm an observer of life, I'm a student of life, and I love life. I fully am embracing the good, the bad, the ugly aspects of the world that I'm a part of, and my own internal aspect of myself. And you know, that's where I am. I'm hungry to be a part of a world that is choosing to be conscious and choosing to make a difference in the world.
I love that. That's a good definition. I like how you handled that one. Now, I've got another good one for you, all right? You ready?
Yeah.
Dee Wallace and I have had a couple of conversations about the nature of life, you know, the kitchens that we find ourselves cooking in sometimes, the struggles and the rewards. And, you know, Dee suggested to me that we should all have a song of life. So now I'm going to ask you, Darren, if forced to, what would you say your song of life is? And I mean, what comes to your mind right away?
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
I like it. You know, yeah. I'm paying attention to these. I'm asking this question. One of these days, I may, you know, put your name in lights as Somewhere Over the Rainbow. You're the first one to tell me that. You'd be surprised how many, you know, it's The Man from La Mancha, The Impossible Dream. You know, okay, anyway, I love that.
Well, you know, right. If happy little bluebirds, you know, fly beyond the rainbow, why can't I? I just, you know, eternal optimist and recognize that there's just so much more than what we perceive to be in our world, and especially in the wake of just so much that goes on, where we so often get caught up in, you know, the song of, you know, of being a victim and fear and overwhelmed and anxiety and payback and different things like that. And I just know that there's so much more to life than what seems to meet our perceptual eye.
Well, and you know, there's been a lot of research on optimism. I have to take advantage of this and wrap with you just a little bit about it. And I know you're aware of a lot of that research. It shows just how beneficial it is to our psychological well-being as well as, you know, our physical well-being. But last week I was in a CEU and a continuing education. I spent a day looking at new work in neuropsychology and neurology. And when it was all said and done, a day's worth of one study after another study after another study, and this was being facilitated by a neuroscientist, not a psychologist or psychiatrist, someone that actually did hard research. There were two bottom line takeaways. The first one was everyone can change. You can change everything. You can change, you know, the amount of gray matter in your brain, you know. You can change your attitude. You can change your personality. You can change your IQ, all right? The second one was, and this is most important, relevant to what you just said, you can only change what you believe you can change. Now, that wasn't, you know, some new age guru that was telling me that. This was study after study. You can only change what you believe you can change. So when somebody talks to you about the value of optimism, you know, you have to look at it and say, well, tangential to optimism is your acceptance or your belief that you have this unlimited potential, this power within, and that you can find the good in everything. I know I'm talking to the choir.
No, it's beautiful. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, I don't know if it's unfortunate because I think that would be a limiting belief in itself, but you know, in our world today, most people don't recognize the power of their beliefs, the thought patterns that are resulting in, you know, the core experience that we have on a physical, biological level or an emotional relationship level. And waking up to not just the beliefs that we're aware of, but waking up to the ancestral patterns that we carry on in our own DNA, you know, is fundamental to creating the change that we desire. And to live with intention rather than reaction, especially in the wake of Boston right now. It's like, you know, it's so easy to go into the reactive state. And there are natural emotions that come up on, you know, the cascade of life. But what if there was another way to approach the immense amount of pain that we're experiencing? What if we had a way to truly and authentically grow and learn and evolve as individuals and thus ultimately as a collective being? What if there was? And, you know, the truth of it is you just said it. We all can change. You've got to believe it. And here it is. Let's get to the heart of the matter of what that means in our world.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, now we're going to turn to what you do, and you do very, very, very well. You heard the setup piece. What exactly is the See, Feel, Hear challenge?
It's a real simple way for anyone to learn to digest their emotions. And what I mean by digest is just like when we take on in food, you know, it's like, you know, it's not the food that you put in your mouth. It's the food that actually gets absorbed through the intestinal walls and goes into your blood and becomes the energy, the ATP of your cells to actually produce more cells. We, equally as important as it is to digest our food, it's equally as important to be able to digest our emotions, to process our emotions. And so the See, Feel, Hear challenge is a way that we integrate our emotions into a vibrational frequency, into food that helps us to learn and grow and evolve. It helps us to connect and bridge into who we authentically are destined to be, or who we choose to be. So we are designed in our brains, in our bodies, to process information visually, see, kinesthetically, feel, auditorily, hear. That's just our natural design. And, you know, good teachers in life recognize that all their students aren't going to be learning the same. Some people see things and then they can learn it. They can hear the teacher and they can learn it. Some people have to get their hands dirty and they get in there. You know, and good teachers then span that process of doing teaching styles that evoke the see, feel, hear potential. The See, Feel, Hear challenge in the book that will be coming out in September is a process that enables anyone in any given moment to begin to observe their emotionality, the emotion that they're experiencing, see it, process it with infinite love and gratitude. We're going to have to talk about that. Feel it, process it with infinite love and gratitude. Hear it, process it with infinite love and gratitude. As soon as we observe it with intention, with high vibration, what we observe, we actually begin to influence, and it begins to shift and change.
You know, you tell a story in your new book about your daughter and how she came home with a stomach ache.
Yeah.
And I think you illustrate this process very well in that story when you ask her stomach, how does your stomach feel? Do you want to flesh that out for us? Go ahead and share that story.
Well, it's an everyday story because I'm a dad of three kids, 8, 6, and 4, Joya, Rumi, and Liam. And so there's all kinds of things going on, whether it be coming home from school and having a tummy ache or sister saying that, you know, I'm stupid and I'm mad at her or whatever it might be. You know, so there's always an opportunity to be in the present moment and recognize how we're feeling. What is our emotional connection to the moment? So on that particular day, you know, Joya comes on home and, you know, she's got a tummy ache. How you feeling? You know, how's your stomach feeling? Well, it's making me feel sad, you know. And so, you know, she gets into that sad feeling. And so I literally have her observe in her mind, seeing the sad thoughts. And she knows because she, you know, hears it every single day. She knows, embrace that sad thought with infinite love and gratitude. She puts her hand in the American Sign Language hand mudra for I love you. So those people that don't know what this hand posture is, if you and I were to give each other a high five and you just simply bend your middle finger and ring finger down to your palm, keeping your thumb, index, and pinky extended outward, that means I love you in sign language, American Sign Language. She put that hand mudra next to her tummy, and she said infinite love and gratitude as she saw the thoughts of sad. And then she felt it. I said, just feel it. Allow yourself to feel that sad feeling. Infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude to that feeling. How does it feel? Oh, it feels really heavy in my tummy, Daddy.
I'm going to have you hold it right there, Dr. Weissman. Yes. We've got a, as you know, hard break coming up here. I don't want to miss that. We'll pick up the story on the other side of this break. We're speaking with Dr. Darren Weissman about his wonderful new book, The Heart of the Matter. We will get into the power of infinite love and gratitude, I promise, when we come back. If you're not already in our chat room, now is a great time to join in the conversation. We have a short film for you today of our guest, so just go to eldentaylor.com/chat. Do stay tuned. We'll take some of your calls in the next half hour, and you don't want to miss what's coming up after a few words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Dr. Darren Weissman about his delightful new book, The Heart of the Matter. And new book it is. It's released in September. You can pre-order it. I happen to review this book, and I find it to be really a great book. But before the break, we were discussing your daughter and how you apply infinite love and gratitude, and obviously using the hand to signal that to the body that dissolves discomfort. So I'm going to move you to something here, and then I want to get into the course that you teach, if we can, Dr. Weissman. But in your new book, you open with a story of the Wailing Wall. And, you know, I was struck by that right in the get-go. I have to tell you that really had some impact. In my mind, it was very comparable to Robert Bly's The Long Bag, his Book of the Shadow. You know, I think what it does is it addresses a philosophy you have. So before we jump into the course that you teach, share that philosophy, share that story of the Wailing Wall, would you please?
Yeah, sure. My wife, Sarit, and I were in Israel. I was teaching the Lifeline technique in Tel Aviv. And we went to the old city of Jerusalem and just touring the different sites and monuments. And you know, I was raised in the Jewish faith, bar mitzvah, and my grandparents came over just after, before World War II, and you know, my papa and his cousin were the only ones that escaped the concentration camps. Everybody else was killed. And so I hold my Jewish faith really, really strong in my heart. And so going to the old city of Jerusalem really had has a meaningful impact for me. Well, on the other hand, my wife, Sarit, was not raised in any religion whatsoever. Very spiritually connected to life, but has no religious pull one way or the other. And so when you go up to the Wailing Wall, the western wall of the old temple,
right,
it's split into two sides. There's a men's side, there's a women's side. And so, you know, I went to one side and Sarit went to the other, and just, you know, going in, having our own experience. And Sarit's walking up and all these people are, you know, praying, and they have these pieces of paper in their hands that they write their prayers on. And they stick them into, like, chinks between the big stones that make up the wall itself, and, you know, in hopes that God reads these messages and makes a difference in the suffering that they're experiencing. Maybe their son or daughter was killed, or somebody is ill, or that they're going through some type of travesty in their life. Well, Sarit walks up to the Wailing Wall, and she comes literally within a foot of the wall, and something happens. And that something is, she immediately bursts into tears. And it just takes her. It just, boom. And she pushes herself back away from the wall, and she notices that the feeling goes away. So now, because she's an observer, very conscious woman, she steps into this field of energy, and she starts crying again, just weeping. And she steps back, and after we have our experience, we come on back, and she, you know, shares what happened to her. And, you know, immediately I have an understanding, as far as I understand cellular memory and how things are stored in our physical body, that these stones where so many prayers and so much heartache and perceived brokenness is going on, hold that energy. And Sarit, in her sensitivity and awareness, was not only immediately impacted, but emoted in that moment. It was just such a profound life-altering awareness to have that experience.
And we exchange our personal energy with energy of that nature 24/7. Maybe not that strong, but with other energies. So tell us, what do you do with the Lifeline technique that restores our energy?
We just with the Lifeline technique, we process the emotion. You know, because the whole thing about it is like, you know, like you said, well, maybe not that strong. But the truth is that we have in the core of who we are these incredible, beautiful, authentic beings that are our vulnerable child. It's our vulnerable child self. And that vulnerable child, when we observe a child in motion, that motion is just raw emotion. From one moment, just happy and joyful and running around, the next crying and screaming, the next having a temper tantrum and then giggling. At the core of who we all are, 24/7, is that, but we, through our beliefs, if we bridge it back to the first part of the show, learn to put up walls of protection. Not consciously. We literally are programmed, as you know quite well, we're literally programmed to put up these protective walls around our heart that inhibit us from perceiving anything greater than that. So oftentimes we have these emotional patterns. We have these sequences of anger or low self-esteem or unworthiness or fear that are, on a subconscious level, living in these stones that make up our wailing wall, that make up our protective patterns. And so the Lifeline empowers a person to either do it with themselves or to work with a certified Lifeline practitioner to get to the heart of the matter, to get to those core limiting beliefs, those emotional patterns, and process them. Process them and digest them with intention so that we can raise the vibration of the energy that's moving us. The energy in motion is our emotion. So we can shift from that anger to awesomeness, or that fear to forgiveness, or that anxiety to a whole other level of loving ourselves that we would otherwise not know. That's what the Lifeline is. And a funny thing about it is, you know, we could talk about the Lifeline literally for 8 days straight and have a great time doing it, but in the end and in the beginning, the Lifeline's an experience. It needs to be experienced. And so it's a philosophy, it's a science, it's a technology, it's a whole new way of really appreciating who we are and what potential exists within each and every one of us.
Okay, now, in your book, The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude, you talk about things such as diabetes, hypertension,
right,
cancer, and you speak about them as a gift. Unpack that, will you?
Yeah, but I follow that gift with words that are in a strange wrapping paper. And the gift, the reason that we call even the harshest of disease processes where people are really suffering, is the gift is there's more to than what meets the eye. Every symptom, no matter how extreme it might be, is a conversation. It's a dialogue. It's meaningful. It's not a random act. It's not a random terrorist act that is just looking to get you while you're down. There is meaning and value to the symptom, even though it might be really hard to go through. I understand that. I'm not naive in that way. But it's a gift because rather than the problem that we perceive it to be in the Lifeline world, it's the portal. Rather than the failure or the fight that we think we're in, it's the feedback. So the gift is, it's giving us a portal, a doorway to a whole other essence of ourself that we would otherwise not know. And, you know, as we were talking about, like, you know, you were talking about the neuroscientist who was saying, you know, everything can change. Change is the essence of life, but the greatest fear more than even death itself is change. So people literally, you know, the identity of belief gets so embedded in, you know, the rock, the wailing wall of our heart, of our body, of whatever it might be, and then as a result, that pattern takes on an identity of its own. It inhibits us from changing. So, you know, the gift in strange wrapping paper is, wherever you're at, whatever the pain is, emotional, physical, family, collective, individual, it is a conversation. And the Lifeline acts as a translator so that we can begin to understand on a deeper level where the conversation is stemming from, where that story began.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to comment on this. I've talked to a lot of people that have worked with hospice, in hospice care, and with hospice patients. And to a person, I've learned that when an individual accepts their condition, their disease, and sees it as a gift, they seem to be able to move through it with less discomfort and find a greater sense or purpose in it all. Comment on that is, I mean, your lifeline technique doesn't necessarily heal everyone in a physical sense, or does it?
Well, it doesn't heal anyone. That's, and this is like
good.
Such a funny
flesh that out, please.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the body is designed to heal itself. I mean, it's like if, you know, you take a bite out of an apple, you know, your body's going to produce salivary enzymes to break it down. The stomach's going to produce acid. The system's going to do what it does. You know, I cut myself over the weekend on my hand. I didn't have to tell my body to heal itself. The body heals itself. But the key, what the lifeline does, that enhances the potential for self-healing, regeneration, wholeness, is it aligns the conscious and subconscious minds in the present moment. And when the conscious and subconscious minds are diverged, when they have different focal points in the present moment, I'm going to expand upon this, then the subconscious always overrides the conscious. And the subconscious is the reactive, it's the protective mind, it's where the memories are, it's the mind that controls all the cells of our body's natural ability to heal. And in a protective state, in a reactive fear-based state, which is subconscious, there's no healing, there's no learning, there's no growing. It's just reaction and protection in the moment. So what the lifeline does is it brings conscious intention into harmony with the subconscious memories or emotions and beliefs that have not been processed. And when we can bring them into the present moment, the fullest potential of the body is then enhanced to heal. But the lifeline isn't what heals people. It just bridges the gap. It raises a vibration. The healing happens as a natural byproduct of giving yourself infinite love and gratitude and following these 16 steps of the lifeline, or doing a see, feel, hear process like what I teach in the Heart of the Matter book that's coming out. But, you know, it's you know, diagnosis, cure, and healing, to me, and this is my take on it, Eldon, is that's for the Western world, and they do a great job at that. It's brilliant. It's an incredible world. But, you know, in when we're talking about at least Lifeline, Lifeline's about consciousness. It's about raising our consciousness. And when you raise consciousness, there is a natural byproduct where people that have anaphylactic allergies, autoimmune disease, high blood pressure, the body does know how to heal. Everything can change, as we go back to that one statement again. But we do not perceive truth. We perceive what we believe. And if that belief is a limiting belief, then that ability to heal or change, evolve, transform, then becomes limited based upon that. So the lifeline bypasses our conscious perception. It goes right into that subconscious root and core, and it helps to reprogram and just upgrade that vibration.
All right. Very well said. Very well fleshed out. Let me ask you another question, and then we're going to go to the phones because we've got some people that have been very patient that have questions for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you've pretty well given an explanation of what makes the Lifeline technique unique, different to everything. But there are five basics that you refer to for optimal health.
Yeah.
Share those five basics with us, please.
The five basics are really great. You know, it's more than just saying, oh, I'm looking for the silver bullet outside of me, fix me, run a lifeline on me. Self-responsibility, self-love, taking action in one's life is inherent in creating real change and a necessary part. And so the five basics for optimal health, otherwise known as the acts of self-love, are the water you drink, the food you eat, the rest you get, the exercise you do, and how you own your power. You know, how much, how often, how good are you drinking your water, eating healthy foods, resting your body and mind, exercising your body and mind, owning your power, processing your emotions in the moment, moving through life with infinite love and gratitude. So everybody that I do a lifeline session with, it's very, and I say with, not to, because I get a session every time I give a session, which is just so dang cool. But it's on top of that, then we talk about, you know, make sure you drink enough water, because if you're not, you got inflammation and pain. Make sure that you're balancing your blood sugar metabolism and eating living foods and being aware of organics and GMOs and posture and how you sleep and getting the right amount of sleep and getting into that REM stage. Those things are so awesome, Eldam. And on one level, they're common sense. There's a gazillion books on water, food, rest, exercise, own your power. And if we would just do them, then it would really make a difference in the quality of our lives. But there are subconscious patterns in and of themselves that create self-defeat and self-destruct and cause us to turn into vampires at 11 o'clock and stand in front of the refrigerator and say, give me chocolate, or cause us to drink too much wine or whatever it might be. Those are part of the program. So when we combine the five basics, these acts of self-love, with a real simple, awesome tool, the Lifeline, you know, then you got a good 1-2 punch in there.
Cool. I love what you do. You know that. Let's go to a phone and we'll ask Allison out of Los Angeles, California, what her question is for you today, Dr. Weissman. Allison, welcome to Provocative Enlightenment.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is so informative, and I appreciate all the information and having the opportunity to speak with you both. I'm getting over a cold and flu, so that's why I'm a little raspy. I had a question. It was so interesting. My first question was really around, I've been struggling with really being able to establish some meaningful goals in my life and focus on them. And Darren, you were talking about how we really need to be aware of our thoughts going on. And I kind of had an epiphany on the call, and I was hoping maybe you could share some insight on what I could do to move this. I recognized, even when I was on the call, and I thought, oh my gosh, I got in. I'm going to actually be able to speak to Eldon and Darren. What question do I ask? Like, oh my gosh, I was so nervous I was going to pick the right one, and am I going to get what I need? And all that anxiety, I think, is with me no matter what I'm about to do. And I'd like to shift that somehow. And especially when it comes to expressing myself, I'm a singer, and I'm really struggling with that.
So, Allison, let's get to the heart of the matter, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, let's just go right there. And I'm going to ask you what we call the truth question so that you can begin to appreciate this part of you that's in a reactive state, in a subconscious program state, and you can begin to live with intention. And the truth question is this: if you were given the opportunity where you could create your life a day or even a moment, would you choose to create it feeling anxiety on any level?
No, gosh, not at all.
Would you choose to create it struggling with creating meaningful goals?
Not at all.
Would you choose a cold or a flu today?
No.
The answer is actually hell no. Right?
Hell no.
Hell no. We would never choose it, but you're experiencing it. And this is so cool because we know that when we observe things, we're in our conscious mind. So when we observe things, then we are looking for things that we choose and things that we don't choose. And when we observe things that we're not choosing, what isn't an action or a choice is a reaction. So these reactive parts of you, which is the anxiety, the cold and flu, struggling with creating meaningful goals, these are subconscious programs. These are subconscious memories and emotions that you've not fully processed. And what we need to do, and we're just going to do it really simple and quickly, is we need to set an intention. And so if you could choose to feel anything, you already know you wouldn't choose to feel anxiety and bring your best self here. What do you choose to feel, Allison?
Just calm and trust that all is, you know, trusting that all is well.
Cool. So let's say it as if you're already there because the mind will follow you. I am calm and trusting.
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 And are you open and willing to use your imagination right now?
Absolutely.
How does it feel to imagine seeing yourself calm and trusting, my friend?
Foreign.
But you said you were open to using your imagination, so really go there, okay?
Okay.
Go into the land of I'm calm and trusting, where it's your nature to be calm and trusting. How does it feel to really imagine seeing your best self in the calm and trusting way?
Oh, I just feel like my stomach, I'm breathing better, and just at ease.
Yeah, feeling at ease. Write that down. I'm calm and trusting, feeling at ease. That's your intention. And now, and you know, if we had more time, we'd go into the reason why I am asking you these things in a specific way. But now let's get to the heart of the matter as far as what's showing up as anxiety or this cold flu and struggling. Right off the bat, I'm using muscle reflex testing here. You've got a core limiting belief, and these core limiting beliefs are held in our light body. Beliefs are held in our light body. And it shows that it's in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth. It's in your throat chakra, which means it's about communication, how you create healthy boundaries, how you create healthy opportunities by expressing yourself from your heart and trusting your intuition to create the type of opportunities that you desire. There's a limiting belief, so rather than being the great communicator and the great singer, you know, you're turning into a silent child. And I invite you to repeat infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Great job, Ellison. So fire, earth, metal. This is a metal element. Metal element, which is fascinating, has to do with the lungs and the large intestine, opens up into the sinus, affects your mucosal membranes. Let's go after the metal element. Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
So metal has to do with your strength and stability. Has to do with your ability to bend, that you're not going to break, Allison. And there's a part of you who's reacting subconsciously as if you are going to break, that, you know, is rather than in your core stability is experiencing core instability. Let's harmonize that. Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Let's see what emotional patterns here. 1 through 10, 11 through 20, 21 through 30, 21 through 25, 26, 27, 28. Hey, Allison, when I bring up the concept of pressure to succeed, be aware of your first and immediate thoughts. No matter what or who you think about, wherever pressure to succeed takes you, let me know you're connected by saying out loud, infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
So this is the pattern. This is actually the subconscious addiction that's going on. You've got this core limiting belief in your throat chakra. When it gets triggered, you shut down your ability to communicate and express yourself in a calm and trusting way. It's creating core stability rather than stability. And what you're doing is you're literally broadcasting a signal where you're attracting people in circumstances that's giving you an experience of pressure to succeed. What happens
when that happens?
You experience anxiety. What happens when that happens? You struggle with creating meaningful goals. What happens? Your immune system shuts down and you start to get a cold and a flu. That's the gift in strange wrapping paper. The anxiety and the struggle and the cold and flu are a conversation that says, at some point, you didn't have the ability like you do now to live with intention. So we want to know, where did this story begin? Is there a concept of an original occurrence? Yes. Is it in this lifetime? It is. Conception at 10, conception of 5, 6 years of age. So, Allison, when you were 6 years of age, the emotional environment you were living in was pressure to succeed. And at that time, at 6, you didn't have the ability to say, but I'm calm and trusting, feeling at ease. The 6-year young part of you didn't have your consciousness. You've changed a lot since then. And more than that, the environment you were living in, your parents, your family, they didn't have the ability to throat chakra, to model, to guide, to teach you, to be a life coach, to say, hey, communicate your feelings, create healthy boundaries, dialogue. When you were 6, nobody knew how to dialogue themselves. They were in a reactive, protective, fear-based environment themselves. They could not teach what they didn't know. Allison, for the first time, I'm inviting you, and it's an invitation. You don't have to do it, but if you choose, embrace this 6-year young part of you who only knows pressure to succeed. Embrace her in a calm and trusting way. Let her feel the at ease energy that you're experiencing right now with Eldon and I. And as you are, let me know by saying infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Great job. Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
I invite you to repeat. Let's give her a voice. Regardless of anxiety.
Regardless of anxiety.
I'm now choosing to feel at ease.
I am now choosing to feel at ease.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Hey, Allison, welcome back from 6 years of age. Welcome to the land of I am calm and trusting. Welcome home.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Allison.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're out of time, Dr. Weissman, and what we have left, tell our listening audience how to reach out to you, how they can contact you and learn more about the Lifeline Technique.
You know what? If you have any questions, send me an email, drdarren@infiniteloveandgratitude.com. It's D-R and then D-A-R-R-E-N, drdarren@infiniteloveandgratitude.com, and I'll be happy to support you in any and every way that I can.
All right. And the book is The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. Be sure you get a copy of that. We've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. And I want to thank the team at Hay House Radio for making what we do on this show so easy and pleasurable. And, of course, a big thank you to our guests and to all of you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed our show and we'll join us again next week, same time and same place. And in the meantime, remember, wherever you are in the world, believing in yourself always matters.